So last time I spoke about sitting, and this all came from a verse from Psalm 1, which is, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." And I said I felt that there were some principles for us regarding standing, sitting, and walking. And Andy had spoken previously about standing, so I spoke about sitting, and today I'm going to speak about walking. Now, when I was a child, every year from about the age of 5 to about 11, we went on holiday to Wales. We had some friends who had a cottage there, and we used to have the privilege of being able to stay there for a couple of weeks for our holiday. Now, this was not a beach holiday, this was a walking holiday. And we always went out walking, whatever the weather. We were out walking. I only found out actually fairly recently that the reason we did this was because having us all in a tiny cottage drove my mum barmy, so we had to get out of the house, whatever the weather. So, but my parents, for some reason, never liked to follow the well-trodden route. They always liked to find the path that no one else walked on, and there was usually a reason for that. And so we often got into some tricky situations. But if you like walking, you'll know that, you know, walking in beautiful scenery on a lovely summer's day is wonderful, but the British weather can be a bit unpredictable, can't it? And the scenery can change very quickly when the clouds gather and the rain begins to fall. And you know what? Life can be a bit like that too. Things can seem to be going well and then the clouds gather and things start to change, and all of a sudden the scenery looks different. Our lives, our situations take a different turn and look very different. I remember numerous times walking in the pouring rain with my family, and my mum or my dad would say, "We're having fun, aren't we?" And usually we'd probably grumble, but if funnily enough, I've done the same thing with my children, and I'm sure some of you parents out there have done the same thing too. But the truth is that life isn't always fun. You know, there are difficulties, there are challenges. Sometimes it can be really tough. I remember one time we were walking and it was an area called the Devil's Kitchen, and we were clambering up this hill, and it was just scree, loose rock, and actually we were sliding down more than we were climbing up. And I think, you know, sometimes life can feel like that, can't it? It can feel like we're taking two steps forward and six steps back. We just feel like the ground underneath us is unstable, and we're losing ground, and we're not making the progress or even staying in the same place. I don't know what your walk feels like today. I don't know whether you feel like you're walking in beautiful scenery in the sunshine, or head down, rain coming, just trying to keep going. Or maybe you feel like you're clambering up that hill and sliding back down again. But I believe that God's word's got some encouragement for us and guidance for us today, whatever our situation. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, there are some very obvious challenges to walking in the dark. When I was a teenager, we used to go to Letton Hall for our youth weekends. And on the Friday night when we'd arrived, the leaders used to take us out at midnight for a walk. I think the idea was just to wear us out so we'd be less trouble for the rest of the night. But we went out in the dark. Now, I'm talking 35 plus years ago, and torches weren't quite what they are now. And so they didn't really show up very much. But also, this particular occasion that I remember, my battery went on my torch very quickly. So I was sticking close to my friends and trying very carefully to be able to follow the light of their torches. But as we were going round, I felt a very distinctive, worrying squelch as I was walking. But it was only as I got back to the light of the hall that I realised that I'd actually trodden in a rather large cow pat. And never did get those trainers really clean, and my mum was not impressed when I got home after that weekend. But, you know, walking in the dark does have its potential hazards. And light is really important to keep us on the right path, to stay on the path. And Jesus says that he is the light of the world. So first of all, I want to tell you that we have the light of the Word to direct our path. Jesus is the Word. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, that as Christians, we're not left to muddle through in the dark, trying to figure out the route, trying to figure out the best way to go. We have some clear guidance in the Bible. Now, when I was a child, on our walks, we didn't have GPS, we didn't have Google Maps, we had Ordnance Survey maps, you know, the ones you had to fold out and then you couldn't really hold, and guidebooks. And my mum and dad used to read the guidebooks to see what the paths were like, to see whether they were safe for us children. Now, every year we climbed Snowdon, and but again, my parents didn't like us to do the same route every year. That would be boring. So they used the guidebook to try and figure out what was the best route to go. And they wanted to check that it was okay for us. So as children, we were quite young, and there were sometimes more of us. So I've got a brother and a sister, but I had a couple of foster brothers who were with us for a number of years. So there were five of us children, and it's sometimes difficult to keep control of five children. But my mum had looked through this guidebook and decided that this particular route was going to be okay. Now, according to the guidebook, there was a particular part of the route where there was a sheer drop down one side. But the guidebook said that it was wide enough to drive a car across. So my mum thought, that'll be fine, not a problem. The only problem was that when we got to it, it might have been wide enough to drive a car across, but it was jagged rocks. There was no way you could have driven a car across. Plus, the cloud had come down very low, and actually, we couldn't really see where we were going. Now, I didn't realise till some time later how terrified my mum and dad were that we were going to lose one of us over the edge of the cliff, but we got through safely. It didn't actually stop them taking us on dubious routes, but there we go. But the Bible is our guidebook, and fortunately, it's much more reliable than the guidebook my mum was using. God's word gives us clear direction for our lives. It tells us what to avoid. It tells us which way to go, how to live, what to do. It's really important that we follow that guidebook because it keeps us out of trouble. Proverbs talks about the importance of wisdom, and particularly the wisdom of God's word. Proverbs 4, verse 10 to 15 says, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." And the next verses actually echo the verses I read in Psalm 1. "Do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it and turn from it. Go on your way." Now, there were many times when my parents' decision to go off the beaten track meant that we got into trouble. On one occasion, I remember we were coming through a field of very long grass. And as we came through the other side of it, and we turned round, we saw a big sign that said, "Warning. Beware of the snakes." Now, fortunately, we hadn't encountered any snakes on our way through, but it is useful to be able to see those warning signs before you go through the dangerous area. Now, God has not left us to figure out this walk on our own. He's prepared paths for us. He's given us boundaries, and they're not to limit us or to restrict us in a way that makes our life boring or miserable. They are for our good. He warns us about danger, about the things that will cause us harm, emotional harm, physical harm, spiritual harm. And if we choose to follow his guidelines, we can be confident that we are walking along the path that is safe for us, that is best for us. So we have the light of the word to guide us, but we also have the light of his presence to lead us. Psalm 89, verse 15 says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord." Rachel actually spoke this out at the worship session on Tuesday. She didn't know that this was going to be a passage that I was using. But in Joshua 3, we read about the Israelites preparing to go into the promised land, and they've got to cross the River Jordan, and the River Jordan is in full flood. It's high on its banks. But Joshua gives instructions to the people to follow the Ark of the Lord. And the Ark represented the presence of God. It was where God came and met with the priests. And the people are told, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Well, light is especially important when we're travelling on an unfamiliar route. Let's be honest, none of us have been this way before. The circumstances that we're living in now are not something that we've ever lived through before. And travelling with somebody who knows the way is a great benefit when we're actually going somewhere new. And I'm sure you've been in situations where you've been following someone who's going somewhere because they know where they're going. And you stick close to them because you know that they know the way. Fortunately, we have someone who knows the way. We need to keep close to Jesus, who is the light, who is the way. He's the only one who knows the way through. He is the way through. One of my favourite promises in the Bible is from Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. He goes ahead of us so we can follow him. We can be absolutely certain that he will not fail us or abandon us. We need to keep our eyes on him, to trust him, to trust that he knows the way even when we don't have a clue. Trevor's testimony was a great example of that. Trusting God that he knows the way through when you don't know how all of these things are going to come together. God makes the way where there seems to be no way. But what about those times when we just can't see the light? There doesn't even seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel. Life just seems really hard and dark. Well, Corrie ten Boom said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Even when we can't see the light, we can trust that the light, Jesus, has not left us. And sometimes we have to just keep walking and trust that Jesus is still leading. That is walking by faith. On one of our eventful childhood walks, I remember we were walking down a hill and we managed to walk between two wasps' nests. And I distinctly remember walking along and feeling them all in my hair and all around us. And my mum and dad just kept saying, just keep walking, just keep walking. And I remember there was a river at the bottom of the hill. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to dive in that river when I get to the bottom if these wasps are still bothering me. But actually, we all walked through and all set out of the seven of us, only one person was stung. And that was one of my foster brothers because he got it up his T-shirt and then he bashed at it. We managed to walk through unharmed. And sometimes, you know, in life, we can't avoid the buzzing wasps. We can't avoid the dark tunnels. But I believe that sometimes Jesus is saying, just keep walking, just keep walking. He is still leading. He is still lighting our path, even if we feel we can't see it. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Because the light walks with us, we do not need to fear the dark. I'm going to say that again. Because the light walks with us, we do not need to fear the dark. There is no darkness that cannot be overcome by light. We know that in a natural sense. There's no darkness that can refuse to bow to the light. When the light comes on, the darkness has to flee. We might walk through a dark valley, but we're walking through and we will come out into the light, the other side. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, if you are walking in darkness without any ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Do you feel like you're walking in darkness today? That could be the darkness of depression or despair. It could be the darkness of difficult circumstances, maybe of grief or loneliness, maybe the darkness of sickness. Maybe this time of isolation has taken its toll and you just feel like your light has gone out. Psalm 18 verse 28 says, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Or other translations say, turns my darkness into light. I want to encourage you this morning that there is no darkness that the light of Jesus, the light of the world, cannot penetrate. He turns our darkness into light. Now, sometimes that means that he completely transforms our dark situations. Or maybe he sets us free from some of the darkness that is within us. But sometimes it's just he turns his light on so that actually what we see changes. Our perspective changes. Things look very different in the dark. And when you turn a light on, things are far less scary, far less difficult, and far easier to navigate. When Jesus turns his light on our situations, they look different. The light of his presence makes a difference. When we bring him into our dark situations, he brings his light, the light of revelation, the light of understanding, the light of wisdom. He brings his light into our situations. You know, there are times I feel when we get quite weary with this walk. Would you agree? We used to have a code phrase when we were on holiday. When one of us got tired, we would say, let's stop and admire the view. And basically it meant I'm exhausted and I need a break, but it just felt a little bit more positive. So we would all stop, whatever, and would turn and we'd admire the view. I remember one particular time we were climbing up a very steep hill and we were all basically almost on our hands and knees. And all you can see is the grass of the hill in front of you. And we were every few steps we were having to stop. And we turned around and the view was amazing. You know, and it's hard to keep going when all we can see is the problems right in front of our face. Sometimes we need to stop and admire the view. Sometimes we need to stop and turn around and see what God has done and look at the goodness of God and look at his beauty and his majesty. I want to read some famous verses from Isaiah 40, from verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want to encourage you this morning that your way is not hidden from the Lord. He has not forgotten or abandoned you, and he is not weary of looking after you. He knows. He knows the darkness that perhaps you are facing at the moment. He knows, and he is the light. If you're feeling weary today, maybe it just feels like this walk has got really difficult. Put your hope in the light of the world. Look to him for your strength. He gives strength to the weary, the worn out, the burnt out, the run down. And finally, we read earlier from John 8 about Jesus saying that he is the light of the world. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life is promised to all of us who follow Jesus. And that life is abundant life, eternal life, overflowing life. If you are following Jesus, the light of the world, you have that life. But if you're not following Jesus, you are still walking in darkness. You can have this life, this light of life, this eternal life. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, a prophet said this about Jesus' coming. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. However deep your darkness feels today, you can know the light of the world. Jesus came to bring us out of darkness and into light. And you can know that light today. If you want that for yourself, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to follow him, please get in contact with us. We'll tell you how shortly. We would love to help you to know how to walk in the light. But I also want to end with just encouraging people this morning with the first part of that section I just read from Isaiah 9. Because in chapter 9, verse 1, the first verse, it says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." And I just want to encourage some people this morning. Nevertheless, your time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. It is coming to an end. We might not see the end of the tunnel, but believe me, God is with you. The light of the world walks with you. However dark your times might feel, trust in the light, trust in his presence, trust in his word. He will never fail you. Do not give up. Look to the light. So I'm just going to finish, I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back over to Lois. Father God, I thank you that we can walk in the light. Thank you, Jesus, you are the light of the world. And I pray today for anybody who's listening to this, who feels that they're walking in darkness. Lord, I pray that if they don't know you, that they will know that you are calling them into the light today, and they will respond to you. Lord, and for those of us who are following you, but Lord, we feel that our walk is perhaps difficult. Maybe we feel like we're taking two steps forwards and six steps back. Maybe we feel like we're stumbling in the dark. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We can trust you to be the light to our path. And Lord, I thank you that your promise is that you will never leave us. You will never leave us alone in the dark. That as light of the world, you walk with us, and you will never fail us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.